Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Are starting to be distributed and have reached the arms of several of Americans. Lots more coming up. There's even a question about COVID-19's VAC delaying holiday gifts because of a big bad snowstorm that's hitting the East Coast. You know what? That gives you the built-in excuse when you didn't mail it on time. Well, could I predict the snowstorm? I mean, give me a break that people are worried about that. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. Hope you're doing well wherever you're listening to us, whatever nook, cranny, canyon, or perhaps you're listening to us in another country. Thank you for that. For the people in the UK that jump on and those in Australia and so many other wonderful places. Ireland, a lot of Irish are sending me, funny Irish people are sending me, we have to have an Irish joke night, are sending me funny jokes. That's like a new thing that they're sending me jokes. We all need to laugh. There's no question about that. All right, a couple of big things. Politically speaking, Bill Barr is out. He resigns. He decides that he's going to resign, spending time with his family during the holidays. And the president is not nasty about it at all. He thanked him for his service. Tweeted it out, and then also tweeted out his resignation letter, and they just part company. So he departs as the Attorney General. It's an unusual move, but it wasn't unexpected that was going to happen. And so, like I said, the president revealed it on Twitter, saying that they had a nice meeting at the White House and that Barr would be leaving before Christmas. He's going to spend holidays with his family. He posted a copy even of his resignation letter where he indicated he just provided the president an update on the department's review of voter fraud allegations. And then in his letter, Barr said he was greatly honored to have served in the administration, heaped praise on Trump for his many successes and unprecedented achievements. And then, Trump on Twitter said of Barr, our relationship has been a very good one. He's done an outstanding job. You know, there was so much about that there's more there and what's he going to do? And, you know, we're at the end of this because officially the Electoral College puts Joe Biden in. But I've said this over and over again. There is no doubt that Donald Trump, as the ex-president, will still have a voice and has a war chest that just keeps on growing and has a fan base and has a base of constituents that want to see him run again in 2024. It would be an understatement to say that we live in interesting times, my friends. And you all know that because you're living through it too. So you get it. Just like everything with COVID, we're beyond the could we have predicted this. 3,000 deaths a day, though, that is staggering, sickening, and makes me nauseous to think about it. 301,000 people have lost their lives to COVID-19 out of 16.6 million cases in the U.S. Worldwide, 1.62 million total cases, that's of deaths, 72.8 million cases. Now, the recovery number is inching closer to 50 million. That's always good news. The more people that recover, the happier I am, to tell you the truth. California, very lockdown-ish, but there's people that are protesting against that, and there are restaurants that were supposed to be shuttered even outdoors, and they're saying they're staying open outdoors. I mean, it's a struggle. Economically, there is no question. It has strangled small business. Small business is the backbone of the American economy. It is. It's part of the engine. Those small companies that then become bigger companies, or those mom and pops that feed communities. seeing some of them struggle and then some of them saying they can never open up again is very, very sad. What's not sad is that the COVID vaccine, according to Dr. Anthony Fauci, will be available for most Americans in March and April. Woohoo! That's a good thing, right? So, you know, when you hear stories like a White House staffer had to have a leg and a big toe amputated because of COVID-19, this is serious. We know that. And that's why I say the numbers. But the fact is that it feels so far away, but yet it's much closer for a lot of people listening to me, and it's closer for everyone, certainly. And the bottom line is the more people that get vaccinated, the more people that see that the side effects are minimal, and if they aren't, people are off and out, and they're trying to protect them. So watch as it all unfolds before you, unless you're in those first couple of groups. But what Fauci is saying is that a normal healthy man or woman on the street with no underlying conditions would likely get the vaccine by the end of March, the beginning of April, and then we go from there and see what the efficiency is. And, you know, the question people, I think, really want to know, and the answer is maybe never, really, but the question we all want to know is, when does life in the U.S. return to normal, meaning before COVID? And what Fauci says when he's now pressed on that question again and again and again, because the vaccine is out there at 145 plus locations and things are starting to happen, he says it could take several months into the second half and beyond of 2021. So, and he's right about this. A vaccine right now isn't a substitute for the normal public health measures of wearing a mask and keeping your distance and avoiding crowded sections, especially indoors. He says it just complements it. Right? By the way, the side effects, a sore arm, muscle aches, malaise, we all have malaise right now, short-term fever could result in taking the vaccines. In the UK, they had two allergic reactions that were pretty significant. That's why they're saying if you have a history of severe allergic reaction, either don't get the vaccine right now or do it in a place where they can respond to the allergic reaction. And that's what people are doing or are planning to do. At least we've seen that they're in some cities are laying this out to make sure that to avoid somebody from having that happen to them. But that was two out of however many, and numbers pretty high, that are starting to get vaccinated in the UK. I mentioned that Biden officially becomes the president-elect with the electoral win as it goes over the top. He spoke today at his home of Wilmington, Delaware, and he said, "We've been pushed, tested, and threatened, but democracy proved to be resilient, true, and strong." And the president-elect acknowledged an irony in the circumstances, noting that he won with the same number of electoral votes, 306, as Trump did 4 years ago. And, of course, the president said that was a landslide. So now it's official. They're building the scaffolding, which they already were, for the inauguration of Joe Biden. Numbers coming up next in a new version of We Can Count.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. The way we work has changed immensely this year, and technology has played a critical role in helping companies and employees adapt. Heading into a new year, the workplace will continue to evolve, making technology-driven training solutions vital to preparing our workforce for the future. Here's John Jordan, head of the Academy at Bank of America. He leads the team that onboards and trains thousands of client-facing associates each year.
At Bank of America, exceptional client care is at the core of everything we do. This starts with equipping our employees with the right skills and providing training and growth opportunities that foster upward mobility and readiness for the future. With the help of tech-driven learning tools like virtual reality and client engagement simulators, we immerse our teammates in real-life scenarios and offer a more productive learning experience, ultimately empowering them to better serve our clients.
For more about Bank of America's resources, visit about.bankofamerica.com.
We can count. It's all about the numbers. Look around you. Yes, numbers that are happy and numbers that are sad. I'll tell you what is interesting to me, and I'm wondering who will shell out the coin for this, but Cyberpunk 2077 launched on Thursday of last week. PS4, Xbox One players are already spotting some issues with it, but everybody wanted it. Oh, everybody wanted it. So I'm sure they'll figure out those technical problems. Keanu Reeves is part of this game, and it was the talk of the gaming world, and it is the talk of the gaming world, although it's not always positive talk because of some of the problems that people have had. So gamers who are constantly looking to upgrade or looking for other games or looking for, you know, whatever, they pay attention to this. And from Cyberpunk 2077, they put out a tweet on December 10th that said, "We are truly humbled that so many of you trusted us and decided to support Cyberpunk 2077 before the release. Even 8 million thank yous isn't enough. The journey has just begun. We are hard at work on the upcoming fixes and updates to the game. See you in Night City." So anybody who is somebody who plays the games knows that, like I said, that this is what they're talking about because of supposedly the realisticness of it, and just because they built up that whole cred around it, that what it was going to be like, and you know, this isn't an outrageously incredibly expensive game. You can get Cyberpunk 2077 for like $19, right? In the store at like a Target, if you can get it though. So I don't know, people are excited about the future, so they want the story driven single player who's the cyberpunk. And then I'm spending too much time on this game because you're all saying, what? What is she talking about? Cyberpunk? I have no idea. But I know that there are gamers out there and that they are listening, so they do know what I'm talking about. I just like Keanu Reeves in those commercials. I think he is so good. Officials spent 3 months in the hospital. I mentioned this briefly in another segment on the show with COVID, and sadly lost a foot, lost his right foot and lower leg to the virus. So Creed Bailey, who is the director of the White House Security Office, was the most severely ill of the COVID-19 cases connected to the White House. Bailey's friends and others have raised more than $30,000 for his rehab. They put up a GoFundMe account, and you know, what they're just saying is he beat COVID-19, but it came at a big cost, a significant cost. And his family has staggering medical bills from a hospital stay of 2+ months and still counting the ICU and a long road ahead in rehab before he can even go home. So I'm glad that people are contributing to that account. That's sad. Here he is, the head of security, and he gets the worst case of COVID-19. Like I said, see, these are the things that are happening that often aren't talked about. Luckily, he survives, though, right? 4.7, that was the magnitude of a quake in the latest of the quakes to hit Nevada, because all of a sudden they're getting hit with a bunch of them. A 3.2-mile deep quake, 16 miles from Mena, Nevada, about 115 miles from South Lake Tahoe, California. They said they could feel the shaking in the Sierra National Forest in Pine Grove, California. That's what the U.S. Geological Survey says. But nobody's reporting damages or injuries. They just got shook up a little bit. And the California-Nevada border has had a bunch of earthquakes in the last couple of weeks. During the first week of December, at least 40 earthquakes shook that area. Wow. 40, that's a lot. You know, when they would talk about aftershocks and, you know, it could be felt. When I lived in California, I was in a newsroom. I think I've told this story maybe only once. So I was in a newsroom. I was a television anchor and very young in my career, you know, practically fresh out of college. And I remember most of the people in the newsroom were Californians, so they're used to it. But, of course, I wasn't. And somebody screamed earthquake and people started getting underneath their desk, so I had no clue. And eventually I was probably the last person to dive under a desk, and you could feel the newsroom shake. And this was an earthquake that was happening in Los Angeles, and this was in the central coast of California, so pretty far away. Then I understood why they said, don't worry about earthquakes, because if you're living here, you're not worried about it because there's nothing you can do. Just be earthquake ready. And I said, what is that? Just have some water and some things you might need, like a flashlight, in your trunk of your car. Oh, well, that's helpful. There's an earthquake. Get in the car. Start driving. Just drive in the right direction, for goodness sake. All right, worth repeating, because this is a big deal. Major snowstorm to hammer the East Coast. Tuesday through Thursday, it's showing up. And in some places, they're going to really accumulate a lot of the white stuff. Talking about Philadelphia getting, now they've updated it, 12 to 18 inches of snow. Pittsburgh, same thing. Parts of New York will get that. The outer lying areas, 3 to 6. And then if you go to, like, Charleston, Akron, Syracuse, you know, 1 to 3 inches of accumulation there. So it's really in that one area, Philly, Boston, Pittsburgh, all of those areas are the ones that will get probably hit the worst. And in the South, what they're going to get hit with is an ice storm. It's at least a threat of it anyway. Tuesday and night and Wednesday night, slippery, icy surfaces, you know, the power outage stuff that you get. And, I hate those ice storms. I think I would really honestly take a just massive snow over an ice storm. There is nothing like driving in an ice storm. I mean, it is treacherous, or the black ice that develops too sometimes over those bridges and whatnot. Ugh. So beware if you're in any of those areas, whether you're in the South and we're talking about the ice storms, or you're further up in the Northeast, people listening to us in Connecticut and New York and in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, and all the places that I mentioned. So it's supposed to be pretty bad. And Washington, D.C., too, would be in the middle of that. They'll get some snow. You know what's a bummer? Is it so close to the Christmas holiday? Wouldn't it be great if it fell on Christmas? That's when you want it to fall. You know, that whole white Christmas thing? Then you look out, there it is. White Christmas, right? All right, how about this? I haven't talked about planes in a long while because not that many people are flying, including me. I was flying so much last year. There was one week where I think I got on 8 planes. And you know, because I talked about bouncing back and forth to Atlanta and speaking. And boy, it's been a much different kind of year for that. No travel. I haven't traveled in 270-some days, I think. Boeing has expanded the inspections of their newly produced 787 Dreamliners. You know, there's a lot of talk about that. After finding a manufacturing defect in sections of the jet where they hadn't been detected. So the engineers and the safety regulators agree that the problem doesn't pose an imminent safety hazard, but imminent. But the new issue would likely ramp up an FAA review of the production safeguards because of the other defects that happened before. So checking, you know, the entire fuselage of the planes rather than just certain sections of the tail. So it's taking longer to inspect them. Anyway, the Chicago-based plane maker disclosed the inspection delivery delays on December 4th without specifying the reasons for them, and now we know. But is there a hurry for the Dreamliner right now? Is there big demand for that? Not so much. Stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Attorney General William Barr is resigning from his position. President Trump made the announcement Monday saying that Barr's last day with the Department of Justice will be December 23rd. Deputy Attorney General Jeff Rosen will become acting Attorney General after Barr's departure. Former Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker believes Barr has performed exemplary service to his country. He tells Fox News that despite President Trump's frustrations at times, Barr stuck to DOJ policy.
Bill Barr has a career of exemplary public service dating back to the 70s in the CIA and then the Department of Justice. And so I think, you know, Bill Barr is an extraordinary person and has served his country well. Obviously, the president was frustrated at times that he didn't publicly announce certain aspects of investigations. But, you know, that's consistent with DOJ policy at the same time.
This is USA Radio News. The first doses of coronavirus vaccine in the United States were administered on Monday as shipments of shots were delivered to hospitals across the country. And later this week, the Food and Drug Administration will meet to decide whether to give the go-ahead to a second COVID vaccine. The chief science advisor to Operation Warp Speed has called the vaccines amazing achievements of a private-public partnership. Dr. Moncef Slaoui told CBS News that he hopes that the fruitful partnership will continue.
It's an amazing day. It's an extraordinary achievement by thousands and thousands of people at Pfizer, at BioNTech, in the operation. Amazing partnership between the academic science, the basic science and research is funded mostly by taxpayer money, the ecosystem of biotechnology companies and pharmaceutical industry, and the U.S. government, particularly HHS Department and the Department of Defense.
More than 100 sites received vaccines Monday, with more deliveries scheduled later this week. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
This time around in Author's Corner, and you know, he's got so many interesting books and publications, a couple of them, The Myths of the Dinosaurs, Alternative History, What If JFK Didn't Die, and oh, I'm so fascinated by Elvis Presley, and this is the latest greatest, you know, think of history, Elvis Presley when he died. David, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You and I had a fabulous conversation. We really did, about Elvis Presley. You made me think all kinds of things that day. I was like, wait, maybe this, what if we turned things around and he lived a different life? So tell us, first of all, what it's about and how you came to decide you were going to write this.
Okay. The storyline is pretty straightforward in one sense, which is I took the concept from all of these Elvis is alive conspiracy kind of things that would show up in newspapers and, you know, on the internet. And I said, okay, why don't I take it to a logical conclusion? What if Elvis was alive? And then I wanted to look at whether or not Elvis would be a kind of person who would actually be willing to try and fake his own death. Okay. I started with the premise that Elvis was really sad about what his life had turned into. And from there I said, how would he have to escape? And what would be the pivotal moment, the fulcrum that would get him there? And from there I took it to its natural logical conclusion. I had to put him in a place where he would be able to escape his life and be completely hidden away and be actually able to live a life that he really wanted to live, which was to be an ordinary Joe. And So I take that story and I say, how do I flip that around? And one of the only ways that I could think of that he could do that is if he disappeared into something like the Amish or into, you know, some other kind of religious group that was kind of like sequestered from the rest of the world. And so I took that concept and I said, well, Elvis has a historical line through his mother where he was Jewish. And by, at least by Jewish standards, he's Jewish. And, you know, we're a matrilineal, religion. So I took it all the way back to his great, great, great grandmother, Nancy Bardine, who came to the United States from Lithuania, I think it is in 1801 or something like that. And then I created a storyline that goes, through there. I also take another line, and I take that line from his European side, which did not actually come over. And I meld those two stories together, and I do a historical run-up to Elvis's life. The European side of the story becomes really important because it goes into a Holocaust story in which one of the people that he ends up meeting in a Las Vegas hotel pulls him aside and says, your relative was responsible for my family dying. And that is the fulcrum that gets Elvis into deciding that this is it. I'm done. I have a real reason to leave this life. I have spirituality that I can't seem to manage to explore. And he goes back to this rabbi that he had grown up with in the apartment building that he lived in Memphis. He lived either below or above. I'm not real sure, to be honest with you. And I take it from there, and he goes back and visits that rabbi, and they come up with a plan to get him out of Graceland and get him up into Brooklyn, where he becomes a cantor, an Orthodox Jew, and lives for 35 years with his wife, thinking that she doesn't even know that he is Elvis Presley. That's the story in its bottom line.
Yeah, can you imagine? Yeah, wow.
Right. So he gets discovered, though, quite by accident, because he moved, his next-door neighbor, who's a New York Daily News hotshot reporter, you know, and he's predicated on being like a Mike Francesa or a Pete Hamill type of guy, and he's gardening next door, to be honest with you, and Elvis is sitting in front of his porch, and he's listening to an Elvis tape, and Elvis starts singing along with him, and Stanley, the reporter, puts A and B together and realizes that he is, in fact, Elvis Presley. Now comes the real problem for him, which is, what do I do? First of all, what if he's not? And then, if he is, I got a great story, but what do I do with it? So he confronts Elvis. Elvis admits it. Elvis says, okay, please don't tell this story until I'm dead, because this will upset the whole apple cart. I have got, you know, children and grandchildren, and I have a whole new life with my wife. And Stanley goes, what are you, crazy? This is the biggest story that ever hit, you know, my desk. And Elvis says to him, no, I'm going to die. I'm dying of pancreatic cancer. I maybe have 3-4 months to live. I'll give you the whole story. Just hold on to it till afterwards. And Stanley agrees. And Stanley then enters into a series of conversations with him where Elvis explains the Elvis side of the story all the way through. And at the very end of that story, Stanley comes up with this idea of maybe Elvis would like one last shot at being in the public view. Maybe he really, after 35 years, maybe still there's this little seed inside of him that really wants one last shot. And Elvis already is very old and he's very sick. And he says to Elvis, in essence, what would happen if you had, you know, like one last shot? Did it ever occur to you that you maybe, would you do it even? And Elvis in last, he says, what are you kidding? You know, we're two old men here just talking about this. It's a nonsensical thought. I gave it up 35 years ago. And Stanley, being very, you know, being a reporter and knowing everybody, arranges for him to be the last act at the Grammys at Madison Square Garden. And the last act, meaning that, you know, at the end of the Grammy show, they generally have these super bands where all they get together and they do a bunch of songs at the end. And then when the super bands are all finished, they stop and they say, we have one more guest. And Elvis comes out onto the stage. He looks like an Orthodox Jew with the fringes and the yarmulke. And he's walking with a walker. And he walks across the stage. No one knows who he is. He gets onto a stool. They hand him a guitar. And he starts to sing. And now everybody knows that something weird is happening. And then all of a sudden he gets all this energy and he jumps up and he starts singing, you ain't nothing but a hound dog, and you know, whatever. And it's an amazing transformation. He has all this life. He's energy. He's strutting around the stage. And Elvis is obviously Elvis, and the band members all come forward and they start singing with him, and the press comes running up and they're taking pictures, and he does four songs and then the lights go out and Elvis is done, and you hear the typical Elvis has left the building, and Elvis and his wife escape into some van in the basement of Madison Square Garden, and they go upstate and to a motel, and Elvis passes away for real.
Wow! Wow! What an incredible imagination you have. We have a couple minutes left, but why do you think we're so fascinated by Elvis Presley?
Well, because he was bigger than life.
Yeah.
I know for myself that even though I was not a big Elvis fan, I loved his music. And when he passed away, I was driving on the highway, and I actually had to pull over. It was an upsetting moment in time. And the fascination with him was because here's all this talent, and I think we have the same thing. You know, we look at things at all these great people who suddenly pass away very early in their life, and we say, what could have been? And I think what could have been for Elvis would have been total destruction if he had continued down this path. So I wanted to bring him into another path, the path of not self, total self-destruction, but the path of happiness, all the things that he really wanted. And he gets the best of both worlds in the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. If people want to find out more about you, David, where can they go and find out all these great things that you're working on?
Well, they can go to my author's page on Facebook, where I have my two books right now posted on there. And the book is available on Amazon and in Barnes & Noble. And it will be a audiobook on Audible very shortly. It's in Publishers Weekly. And there's going to be a lot more, hopefully, a lot more exposure for it.
I love it. David Friedman, it's always a delight to talk to you. Wow, my mind is still just playing back that story of Elvis at Madison Square Garden. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
And I love this guy's last name. Jerry Delaney joins us, and he's written a book called Bannock, A Growing Up Story in the Vigilante West. And I was thinking of Jerry this weekend, not just because he has a great last name and he has a great book, but I got a Stetson because as soon as everything lifts, I'm on my way to Santa Fe, and the Stetson will work perfectly. It'll be perfect for walking around the plaza there, just a beautiful place, and that's where Jerry is. So, Jerry, obviously you have a fascination with the West, right?
Well, I grew up in Montana.
And we have a lot of listeners in Montana. What was it like growing up in Montana?
Oh, what was it like? Oh, boy. Well, I actually lived there from 7 to 17 and went to grade school and high school there, and then I left at the end of my 16th year. My father took a job on the war crimes trials in Tokyo, and so we moved from Montana to Tokyo. So what I can compare is growing up in Montana with living in Tokyo when I was 17 and beyond, and it was a huge change in life. I mean, it was a whole pivot and changing one's life. But Montana was beautiful. Montana was beautiful. We lived at the foot of Flathead Lake with the Mission Mountains to 5 miles to the east of us, and the lake in front of us, and the rolling hills to the west. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous town.
So we have to go back to, it's, you, you're in this gorgeous place, Flathead Lake, the rolling, you know, rolling hills, you're looking at all of that, and then you all of a sudden get catapulted to Tokyo, and your father has a big job with the war crimes trial. So for you, all of a sudden, again, being in Tokyo, and especially in something with the war crimes trials, what did he say about that that time period?
Well, it was a real inflection time for the United States because we had just emerged from the war with a real deep sense of triumph. And the Nuremberg trials took place and the Tokyo trials took place. And my father specifically was on the prosecution staff there in Tokyo. And trying to establish international laws that would prevent future wars. Well, we know what happened to that. So that was a big disappointment. But at the time, it was a joyous time because it was part of our sense of exceptionalism came out of that time.
Yeah,
which
boy,
which I don't care for, but that did.
Yeah. What an interesting front row seat for you. And let's talk about your book. So we go back to your roots in the West, Montana. Tell us about Bannack.
Well, Bannack was a mining community and that opened in 1960 when they discovered gold on Grasshopper Creek. And it immediately became very fruitful and became very produced a lot of gold and produced a lot of influx from people from the east and south. So you had my main character, a young man named Billy Mayfair at 16 years old, comes up to Montana from Illinois where his home was and works in the mining camp in Montana. It's a great adventure story of him hitchhiking by canastota wagon from Illinois to St. Louis and working in a Union hospital during the Civil War in St. Louis, and then getting a steamer up north 2,000 miles to the mining camp in what would soon be Montana territory. So it's an adventure story.
And what's so impressive about your book is that I feel like we're right there. You plant us right there. And I have to tell you, it was really sad thinking of the Civil War in St. Louis and what that was like. And I think people don't realize how bloody and how sad and how families were torn apart by the Civil War. Do you think the same thing?
Oh, yes. It was. And it was a real seminal period in American history, of course. And it gave birth to the vigilantes, for one thing. And that's what turned me on to the book, because I had grown up in Montana, as you know, and had been taught in school that the vigilantes were great heroes in the West. And I discovered that wasn't true, and that's what led me to start writing the book.
Yeah. So tell us about you told us about Billy Mayfair. Tell us more about, it's an adventure story. Tell us more about the book. I mean, obviously you take us a couple of different places.
Well, it's a book that basically does two things. It's a growing up story, an adventure story, in which Billy Mayfair is basically kicked out of his home by his father and hitchhikes to St. Louis and works in St. Louis, as I said, at a Civil War hospital, and then takes the steamer north to Montana and works in the hard drinking and hard fighting town of Bannack, which grew up overnight. And he becomes a witness to the vigilantes establishing of rounding up 20 people and hanging them in a month's time there. And he gets to know not only the vigilantes, but he gets to know the people who got hung or hanged. And so you see, it's both an adventure story and it's also an expose of the history of that time, how history got it wrong, the official history got it wrong. So the book is also an explanation about how history can lie to us.
Yeah, in our minds, we have a different view of what a vigilante is, don't we?
We do. The vigilantes, incidentally, were all Masons. They were very righteous people who were very ambitious and saw an opportunity to turn that territory into a political unit. And so with their righteousness, they hanged all these people who were mostly roughnecks hanging in saloons and things like that. Not somebody you'd want to have for dinner, but they also didn't kill people, and they were charged with killing people.
Yeah, the impressions that I think that we're left with vigilantes is so different than what you've actually talked about in your book, and you're talking about how history got it wrong. What do you hope people take away from reading your novel?
Well, first of all, a lot of fun in reading it because it's an adventure story, but also a sense of a history of that time. Western history can be very interesting if it's done right. And so you have a sense of not only of Western history, but how Western history has shaped our history, our contemporary history. The past is prologue. The things that happened then are also the things that are happening now. So you have both the pleasure of a story and also the icing on the cake is learning something about American and Western history and how that has influenced our history, our contemporary society.
Yeah, I agree with that. You can see that in reading your story. So what's next? This was so well done. I have to assume you have another book on the brain, do you?
No, I'm afraid I don't. But I'm getting a little too old to go back and tell stories like that. But that's received a lot of very very nice compliments over. And so I'll stand on that.
I like that. I like how you said that. I'll stand on that. Bannock, A Growing Up Story in the Vigilante West. It's terrific. You can escape in it. You'll have fun. I think Jerry said that as well, and that's one of the things I took away from it. So you can pick it up on Amazon and wherever great books are sold. Jerry, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
And I'm going to put my Stetson on, and I'm going to look for you when I go to Santa Fe.
I hope so, yes.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.